there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
What's going on, and welcome into a game day edition of the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek. I'm Daniel Salerson alongside my co-host Jim Eichenhofer of Pelicans.com. Game number three tonight inside the Smoothie King Center at 8:30 p.m. Central Time. A sellout crowd expected for games three and four.
Better be.
With the series all knotted up at one. And as you heard the voice, that is Mark Spear, senior NBA writer for ESPN and Landscape. He joins us now. And Mark, yeah, it is a sellout crowd. You've been around as far as the atmosphere inside the Smoothie King Center for a playoff game. What are the Suns about to experience in games three and four? Because CJ talked about how he was in enemy territory in 2018, being in front of this crowd when they were swept by the Pelicans. What should fans expect here in New Orleans over the weekend for such a big series?
I actually tweeted out a couple of days that if you haven't been to a game in New Orleans, it's certainly one of the more unique places in the NBA, if not sports. It's like a Mardi Gras atmosphere. Food is different, right? The food is different. Like, you know, you could get jambalaya, you could get a po' boy, get a daiquiri.
Yeah.
It's one thing to get a beer. It's another thing to go to a bar where they really got some stuff in there, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Hurricane at the game. Even the security guards or the people that work in the arena are like passionate about the team. Like, it's funny, every time I sit in the press row, there's this lady, man, she rides and dies with the team. Very, very passionate fans. To me, like, this is also exciting because there just hasn't been a ton to cheer about, right?
Right.
So I think finally, perhaps really for the first time since maybe even like, I don't want to say this. This is one of the times, you know, you certainly had it when CP was there. You had flashes of it when AD was there. But where you feel like, I think the excitement also comes to like, okay, this is something different, you know, that they're having success and Zion's not even playing yet, you know? And I think a lot, obviously Brandon Ingram's playing sensational, but a lot of credit has to go to Willie Green and CJ McCollum and the front office for, you know, hiring Willie and for being able to convince CJ that this was a great future place for him. And so I think for the first time in a while, I feel like this franchise is on stable ground. Like, you're not worried about what's going to happen to the coach. You know, you're not laughing at the roster. There is a veteran that holds everybody accountable. Like, it feels like a real franchise. But I'm not so much worried about what the fans are going to experience. I like what the television fans are going to experience, because when they hear the bounce music, when they see the people going crazy, when they hear the roar, they're going to be like, you know what, man, we got to go see a game there. We got to get to a game there. And I would certainly encourage fans from other cities to come, because I also feel like New Orleans in a lot of ways gets an unfair rap, you know, for like, oh, they can't support this team. I'm like, come on, man. This team has just not been good. Like, you know, so it's still relatively young. And when you think of the history of sports in that town, and as you could see, like even by the Oakland A's down the street if the roster's not good, there's instability in the coaching and the franchise and the GM, people don't come.
Right.
So now I think there's more of a sense like, all right, I'm going to invest my money in this, and this is going to be exciting, and then the atmosphere is fun now. And so from the moment you get in, whether it's on the floor or whether it's at the concession stand or whether you see the brass band on the way in, you're going to feel like you had a good time and you got your money's worth. I know that was a long answer, but.
No, that's okay. Before I get to Jim, if I would have told you 3 weeks ago, I would have said, hey, Mark, guess what? Pelicans are going to not only make the playoffs, but they're going to be hosting games 3 and 4 after splitting the series with a number one seed. What would you have said to me a few weeks ago if I told you that was going to happen?
Put down your daiquiri.
Yeah. Right.
Put down your daiquiri, man. No, I, you know, it's interesting, man. Like, my birthday's on Friday. So a lot of people are like, man, why didn't you come out? Could have been your birthday. Like, I had to plan ahead, right? So how could I really plan ahead for this?
No one did.
Yeah, like, think about it. You didn't know that those guys were going to make it to the play-in, let alone the playoffs, until, like, the last day of the regular season, right? Well, no, you knew they were going to make the play-in, but, like, they had to win 2 games, right? I know I'm messing it up, but they had to get a victory to get into the playoffs. So this has been incredible for them. And I think Willie has done a remarkable job, like, putting this picture up of the Venetian, right? Was that the hotel they're staying at?
Yeah.
And like, basically giving this team, like, a goal. Like, we could do this. Like, I still remember being around a team in November in Phoenix, or early December, and the record was terrible. There was no Zion on the way, and CJ wasn't even talked about at this time. And I just figured, like, get myself ready for a doom and gloom environment when I had to go talk to coach, I had an interview with BI and all this stuff. And it was, BI was like positive. Coach was extremely like positive. And I'm like, is this the same team that, like, on paper is like 3-16 or whatever they were? And there was a sense of like positivity and like, we're going to figure this out. That was like, it stuck with me as they kept knocking down barriers, that they knocking down bricks as they got closer to, okay, we're 4-16 now. Okay, now we're 8-20. You know, like, as they kept inching back closer and closer, I kept thinking about their mentality early in the season when they were so bad. But yet they were so positive. That's Willie Green, man. That's his faith. That's him as a person. That's the environment he grew up, you know, being coached by his uncle. Like, he had speech they showed on TV.
Incredible.
man, I wanted to go down there and give him 5 minutes. You know,
yeah, exactly. Tear our breakaways off. Let's go. We'll do it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right. So no, I mean, I say that I probably think you were drinking, but maybe I'm the fool for not seeing it in November or December, whenever that was. Like, because I had never been around the team in 20 plus years of covering the NBA that had such a bad record that had such positivity. Mm. And that still like rings true to me.
You know, Mark, I think you got at least 8 to 10 minutes in you. That's my confidence level.
Six fouls. Yeah.
I got 5 fouls. That's what I only think I got. You know, it's funny. I played college basketball many moons ago. But when I look at the court now, I'm like, dang, how did I used to run up and down that, man? That looked so far.
I get winded walking from my car into the building. So I don't know how it is. Like, you know, these guys do it every night. It's crazy.
Being a big man, you had to run baseline to baseline. I used to do that. Yeah.
No, thank you.
Yeah. I was a shooter, as was Daniel, and I stand at the NBA three-point line, and I'm like, man, this is far. So what you said,
yeah,
just
man, you guards, man, you guys fake everybody out because you don't have to, unless you're like Steph Curry running off of screens or Reggie Miller. You guys aren't running as far as the bigs are, man.
That's
bigs
a good
don't
point.
Get enough respect.
When Jim and I would play pickup together, we're guarding each other. We kind of had that agreement, like, hey, you're not running on this position, are you? He's like, no. I'm like, all right, let's just stand here and take a break while everyone else runs the play.
The late great Sekou Smith, man. I remember we played pickup ball like early 2000s. I'm like, Sekou, you gotta leave the circle at midcourt, man. You can't just like run around right there and act like you're doing something, man. Like,
exactly.
You gotta at least go by the basket sometimes, you know.
Mark, one of the things that you said that I was laughing to myself about was you talked about the passion of, I think it's the usher that you were talking about that's in the Smoothie King Center.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yep. Unfortunately, the next time that you come to a game, I'm not sure you're going to see her because we had some complaints from visiting media. And so I think they had to kind of do some personnel and lineup changes and moved her around. So I think she's in a different part of the arena now. But, you know, that's why can't we have fun? You know, that's the kind of thing that gives the media that I don't know who it was.
That's let's call him out right now on this podcast.
No, I'm serious, man.
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember who it was. It might have happened more than once. I don't think if one person had complained, they would have done
it. Oh, I loved it.
I loved it.
I would always go talk to her. And I loved her passion. I had no problem with it.
That's how media gets
that's,
a bad
that's
rap.
A, that's people
no one wants to have any fun.
Writing on deadline, nervous writing on deadline. Right? When your skills lack as a journalist, then you let things like that bother you. So you guys find out who it is, and I'm going to let them know.
In terms of the Pelicans and the team and, you know, what you got to experience, I was wondering, what are your impressions of the rookie class that they have? There's very few teams that we've ever seen that have had three rookies have this big of a role in pressure situations with Jose, Herb, and Trey Murphy. What's been your impressions of what you've seen from those guys so far?
Man, you know, one thing I'll tell you, Trey Murphy came and introduced himself to me.
Yeah,
that's the kind of guy he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was like, that doesn't happen too often. It's actually happened twice this season. Big kid from the Rockets, the rookie. You guys remember his name?
Sengun.
Yeah.
Sengun did that too. Mm. And like pulled me aside and wanted to ask me some questions. But I think somebody put him up to it, said, you know, you might want to talk to this man. But yeah, Trey Murphy, when I was at visiting a team hotel, he came and introduced himself. I'll never forget that. But he's been great. Offensively, all three of them have made an impact. Big fella, special, man, long. And then, you know, kid from Georgia Tech, man, he just has this energy about him, this spirit about him. Kind of reminds me a little bit. I mean, obviously, they're different players, but kind of like a Toscano Anderson. you know, at Golden State, where he just comes in a game and nobody gave him nothing, so he's leaving everything on the floor, right?
Sure.
So that's another credit, you know, to the front office, you know, for picking those guys and getting value this quick. Like when I watch them play, they don't look like rookies now. I think all of them have to be a little bit kind of, I would say, a little careful about end of the games. To me, it's like, if it ain't CJ or B.I. shooting, then like, you almost have to worry about those kind of mistakes late in games. Like, to me, those need to be the only two people touching the ball in close games, right?
Sure.
But other than that, I think they've been sensational. You notice them when they come on the floor. They all make an impact. They're all confident. They're ballers, and they're going to make this team even better. They're even going to be better in the future. They're going to keep growing as players. And I think the question is, do you even bring them to summer league, right? Like, I always find it interesting this time of the year when you have guys that especially got some postseason time that were impactful. I think you bring them to summer league, and then – maybe they play a game or two, I guess, but extremely great pickups.
Sure.
Because one of them wasn't drafted, right? So
right, Jose wasn't drafted.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. No, I mean, to get three impactful rookies, that's not normal. And that perhaps this might be the only team in the playoffs that could say that.
Sure. Mark, you mentioned CJ and getting a chance to talk to him. I was wondering, what was your reaction to when he was traded here, and what have you seen from him in terms of just the impact that he's made and how well he's played since he's come to the Pelicans?
I feel like I know New Orleans pretty well, right? And I think character, people that care about the community, but also can ball, you know, really means a lot to that city. And he just has that New Orleans spirit about him because, you know, CJ came from Lehigh. He wasn't a high draft pick. Nobody's really given him anything. He's had success, but he hasn't reached the pinnacle. He's always been, because he's playing with such a great player, like, he's never been the face of the franchise, but he's also always been in the picture, right? But he's just the clutch player, great player, borderline all-star player who perhaps here will become an all-star. And just great work ethic, great leadership, just somebody that impacts a young player's career for years. And when I say that is work ethic, teaching you to have respect, and he's even to the point where he's like, hey, man, when you're done with your stuff, your clothes and stuff, throw them in a hamper. Don't respect people. Tell them hello. Tell them thank you. You know, that just shows, you know, and when you learn those kind of things from somebody that you respect, it only makes you better. So the impact that he's going to have on that franchise on and off the court, in the locker room, is going to pay dividends. Even if he's there for 7 years, it's going to pay dividends years later. Because he's just if you have great character at your star positions, because I know a lot of teams that don't, you know, and you can end, you know, I remember covering. There have been players that I've covered, I'll say this, that because a star didn't have good character, it rubbed off on some of the young players.
Yeah.
So like that was their example. And they ended up learning later that, no, that's not the right example. Once they got more mature. So to have a very great, solid example, somebody that wants to be there for the rest of his career, a great player, like that, the key thing is wants to be there. Like CJ could have went somewhere else. He didn't have to go to New Orleans. Like, he handpicked New Orleans, which, you know, I think is really, really interesting, like, how he came to that decision, how he saw what he saw in B.I. And And I also think he's going to not that he's look, he's not a guy that looks for credit either. Like, he bought y'all lunch, right? He put some food trucks out there and he wasn't looking for publicity for it. And that's just something he wanted to do. But ultimately, I think years from now, assuming that Zion's going to get healthy, like, CJ is going to have an amazing, positive, great impact on him that I think will do that young fellow a lot of good, a lot of great.
Yeah, you know, Mark, I think CJ's obviously only been here for basically 2.5 months, but the appreciation level for him in the city, I think, is extremely high, sky high right now. So I'm with you on all of the stuff.
And I think it's going to get higher as people get to know him better.
Sure.
The Ace's cat, man. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Last thing for me before I go back to Daniel. I think a lot of people across the league or media people really didn't necessarily think that the Pelicans short term were going to be a force, but obviously through the first two games, it looks like they might be able to do more damage short term than, you know, a lot of people projected. But I was wondering, I mean, long-term, I guess starting with next season, what do you think the potential of this team is when you get everybody in the fold in terms of what this, what they might be able to be capable of doing down the road?
Scary. Intimidating. They'll be one of the elite teams in the West. But health, I mean, obviously you got to be healthy.
Sure.
Because all the young guys are going to be much better because of this experience, man. They're accelerated now. They're, like I said, they're not rookies anymore. They're second year players now. They're accelerated. CJ is going to be more comfortable. BI is happy now. Like, I could tell, like, there's a different bounce about them. There's a different happiness about them. They love their coach, man. They love their coach. And here's the thing. Now, free agency will be like, you know, I think I'll go there now. I like CJ. I like BI. I love Willie Green. Like, you got to keep in mind the potential free agents. And that doesn't mean that it's a A-list free agent, but that really good, you know, complimentary player could even take you to a higher level. So perhaps there's some other people coming in the door now because it seems like a good place to go. So I'm excited to see what the roster is next year and, you know, how them guys are, assuming that they're healthy, that, you know, this ain't no pushover franchise anymore. It's certainly on the right track. And I could see a lot of national TV games coming back, and not just because of a promising young player. Like, there's going to be other reasons to come there. And you know, the fans gotta be on this bandwagon too and get in, because I think it's gonna be fun to watch this growth.
Before I let you go, we're talking with Mark Spears. Now with the Devin Booker injury, how does your outlook on the series change in your perspective as these two teams are evened up 1-1 heading into tonight's game 3? We don't know how long Devin's going to be out, but with the fact that the Pelicans were able to get one on the road, how much does that injury change your outlook on what could happen in this series?
He had 31 in the first half last game.
Yeah, we know.
this is a guy that, in my opinion, probably may have very well, if I did vote, still would have gotten my MVP vote. It's a huge loss. And Pelicans can't feel sorry for him. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Like, you have to – I really think that the Pelicans need to win both of these games. You're at home. They lost their best player. Obviously, Chris Paul is Chris Paul. Ayton is Ayton, and Bridges is Bridges. But you have to take advantage of the situation. And I see this team growing in confidence. You know, B.I. is becoming a superstar now. Superstars are built in the playoffs. And this is his first taste of it. And he certainly is looking amazing. What are you at, 37?
Yeah, almost a one assist away from a triple-double.
Yeah, he has to be special. And I think he'll be that at home. I see a different. The one thing I always thought about B.I. is, man, if he ever got aggressive, and I see that in him now, just a different aggression. I told Willie asked me if I was going to come out to New Orleans, and I said, for game six, I will. So right now I feel like it's – I haven't bought a ticket yet, but I think there's a realm of possibility that the morning of game six, I'll be out in the bayou trying to pull in some redfish.
All right. Good deal. Well, we hope to see you there. Hopefully to see.
That's my plan. That's my plan. I might be a little tired at the game, but.
That's okay. Well,
priorities.
Yeah, absolutely. Selfishly, I hope that I don't see you at the game for game six and that this is done in five for the Pelicans. I'm being greedy. Hey,
don't be greedy. Don't. One at a time, baby.
Well, I know.
They still got Chris Paul, man. Don't forget that.
Oh, absolutely. This is going to be a series, and I've been telling people, hey, too.
Be happy if you see me on game six.
I will. I will give you a big hug. Absolutely.
You got to remember, like, don't – these are still the West champs, man.
And, no, that I was joking. No,
don't take them lightly.
No, absolutely. They're still a very deep team. This team has won plenty of games without Devin Booker. They've won plenty of games without Chris Paul, and they've won plenty of games without DeAndre Ayton. So, absolutely, this is far from over. It's only the beginning, but I feel like now it gets a little more interesting for games three and four. That's Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN and Landscape. Mark, I really appreciate the time as always. I can't wait to see you in next week for game number six. And we'll talk to you then, my friend.
Coming to the game, you guys see my pictures of IG, like holding my fist up, stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
A little tired. I'll give me some of that chicory coffee, wake me up.
You're golden. You're all set, man. Mark, thanks again. Absolutely. Mark, thanks again. Appreciate the time.
All right, fellas. Always a pleasure.
Always great having Mark Spears on from ESPN and Landscape as we wrap up this game day edition of the Pelicans podcast. Game number three tonight inside the Smoothie King Center, as this game and game number four are officially sold out. More on that in just a second. But we ended, Jim, with the fact that Devin Booker will not be playing most likely in game number three and game number four. And I know the Suns are still a very deep team. And I was joking about wrapping up this thing in five. I'm very realistic. I think the series is going to go long, potentially. But who's going to have to be that guy that makes up for Devin Booker in those, I'm not going to say the 31 points, but Devin Booker's clearly capable of throwing up more than 31. But who's going to have to be that guy that has to step up? Or is it going to take a team effort to try to pull in whatever Devin Booker is able to produce?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a committee thing, but honestly, like, that sounds like a negative on its surface, but really it's more about just how good Phoenix is overall, and the depth that they have, the number of players that they have that are above average is a big reason why they went 64-18. I mean, this is not, even though I'm sure super casual fans only think of Devin Booker and Chris Paul and maybe Ayton a little bit, I mean, they have a bunch of other guys that I think can go off and have huge nights. Cam Johnson is one of those guys. Mikal Bridges, I mean, great defensive player, but he's also capable offensively of hurting you, and had his best season offensively this year in the NBA. Couple other guys they have off the bench. Landry Shamet always scares me for some reason. It seemed like early in his career, he had a couple huge games against the Pelicans when he was with Philadelphia. You can't leave that guy open or he'll go on a run. Jay Crowder is another guy. I don't think he's necessarily had a great offensive season, but another spot-up shooter that can get on a roll. Campaign, we saw, especially last season, he had his breakout year as their backup point guard. So, I mean, they have a bunch of guys that you have to worry about. And like you said, I mean, in every you don't go 64-18, especially in the NBA in 2022, without being able to overcome circumstances where you have players injured or guys, you know, hopefully we don't have this too much going forward, but COVID obviously affected the last couple seasons. So, I mean, they, no matter who was in the lineup, they were able to win games. They were 8-6 during the regular season, I believe, when Booker didn't play. So it definitely affected them to an extent. But it's just a dangerous team. And I mean, to be able to win both of these games, I know the players and coaches have to look at it one game at a time, but we don't. but for it's going to take a lot to be able to win both of these games this weekend, but it would be a massive accomplishment. As Mark said, that he thinks that they are in a position where they really need to win both games, but they just won in Phoenix. So I think that's also good that they showed that they can win on the road. And if they have to win another game in Phoenix, they've proven that they can do it.
Absolutely. Great points there from Jim. Before I let you go here, as our Zoom is telling me to wrap things up. Look, we announced, Pelicans officially announced a sellout. I mentioned red shirts on both games, one NOLA for game number three, and then you got to fight in game number four, the shirts. That's what they'll say. I mean, I am so pumped again. We both were here in 2018. We've both been here a very long time, but we've experienced very few playoff experiences, unfortunately. But the crowds for these games, Jim, I know I'm in the studio, so I won't be able to embrace how much sound I'll be able to hear it through the airways. But just how pumped are you to be inside that arena for games three and four? With everything going on in the city this weekend, French Quarter Fest is a classic. You have two sellout games here. This fan base is fired up. How fired up are you for tonight? And
big time. Big time. I mean, to me, this is reminiscent of 2018. I mean, in terms of the most recent playoff appearances, they also made it in 2015, but they were down 2-0 when Golden State came back here to play game three and four that year. 2018, you're up 2-0 going into the games against Portland. And I think that amped up the enthusiasm and the energy and the optimism even more because you knew you're already in good shape. I think this is similar in that people would have been fired up and going crazy, even if the Pelicans were down 0-2. But to be able to get that win against Phoenix in game two, when you have everyone across the country saying that the Pelicans are going to get swept, if they win a game, they might win a game, but it'll be at home. So for them to already have gotten into the win column is huge. And I, as I tweeted after, right after the win on Tuesday night, I can't even comprehend how loud it's going to be and how excited people are going to be. You also have an 8:30 start. So, I mean, there's plenty of time to get there. We won't have to worry about late arrivals and that kind of thing with people just getting out of work. So I can't wait. And I know everyone that roots for this team can't wait as well. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great point. I think the 8:30 tip actually is going to help this crowd, especially on a Friday and a Sunday night when there's plenty to do. You can go to French Quarter Fest. You can go check out some golf for a little bit and then have plenty of time to come in. There'll be a fan fest tonight from 6:30 to 8. We'll be outside. Hope you can join us. Bally Sports will also be somewhere around the arena. So make sure to stop by and say hi to Aaron Hargan and Dave Wesley and that entire crew. Make sure if you're not there to watch it on Bally Sports New Orleans or listen on ESPN New Orleans, 100.3 FM. If your last resort is national television, ESPN will have the broadcast on Friday and TNT will have it for you on Sunday. We'll have another podcast for you on Monday, hopefully recapping two huge wins over the weekend. Have a blast this weekend. Enjoy it. And we'll talk to you then. For Mark Spears, for Jim Eichenhofer, I'm Daniel Salerson. Thanks for listening to the Pelicans podcast presented by SeatGeek.